You're listening to a message from Gateway Church Geelong. We hope it blesses you. For more information about Gateway, visit gc.org.au.
This message today is called Biblical Resilience, and it's going to encourage you beyond encouragement. I think with everything that we've been going through, it's become really, really sure to all of us that it's like, this is a challenging time. And in the first lockdown, it's like, I can do this. And then we saw some events happen up in Melbourne, like, this is real. And so I want to encourage you, it's time to look to the Word of God for some biblical resilience. We used our own resilience potentially in the first one. Now it's like, we need some biblical resilience. Now, if you're joining us for the first time today, I just want to introduce myself. My name is Lee Eden. Naomi and I are the pastors here at Gateway. We have three boys. A little bit more about myself if you're watching for the first time today. I've lived in Geelong for 17 years. It has gone so fast. We moved here with no kids. Now we have three kids. A lot can happen in 17 years. Amen. I love our region. We have one of the greatest regions in the world. It's a great place to raise a family. It's a great place to live. So close to the city, although we don't want to really go there at the moment. But we're so close to the city. But we're also so close to the coast. Amen. We've got the best region in the world. Some other things. When I was 14 years old, I was chased by a three-legged German Shepherd, and it was still really, really fast. You know so much about me now. Today's message, it's a biblical message, an encouragement from the Scriptures, and it's really focused on us learning to implement biblical resistance, so that resilience that overflows from God's Spirit into our spirit, into our mind, our body, our social and family context, into our everyday living. It's really easy to think that the Bible is for Sundays. Can I encourage you that you partake of the Bible on Sundays so that you can use it on Monday? Amen. It's something that we need for our everyday living. But before we go into our teaching on biblical resilience, or this is part of the teaching of biblical resilience, the first thing that I want to point out today, the first thing that I want to highlight today is that God has called you to be a disciple. And you're probably thinking, what's that got to do with biblical resilience? Well, my first point today is this. Disciples of Jesus grow in biblical resilience. Disciples of Jesus grow in biblical resilience. So let's maybe have a look at what is resilience. In natural terms, what is resilience? The capacity to recover quickly from difficulties. It's a toughness. Yes, things are real. Yes, things happen. But this ability to recover when things are crazy. What's a disciple? Well, a disciple is a personal follower of Jesus Christ. In a biblical context, a disciple is a personal follower of Jesus Christ. So really what I want us to look at today is that we're looking to gain biblical resilience in the face of adversity. Lots of things happening right now, but we're looking to gain biblical resilience, the ability to recover when things happen, the ability to recover rather quickly rather than being left in this place of, I don't know what to do. Let's look to the Word of God today. Now, Billy Graham, he stated it like this. A disciple is simply someone who believes in Jesus and seeks to follow him in his or her daily life. So simple when it's put like that. And he posed this question. What does it mean to be a disciple? It means, first of all, that we want to learn from him. Learning from him is God, from Jesus. And we will. We will learn from him. Today, I want to really encourage you that we will learn from God, learn from Jesus, as we study his word, as we study the Bible, as we listen to others teach it. That's when we learn to be disciples, people who implement everything that God has for us. You know, in Psalm 119, verse 130, it says this. Now, I love this passage of scripture because it's really relevant to me. The teaching of your word gives light, so even the simple can understand it. Who sometimes reads the scriptures and you're like, I'm struggling to understand it. I want to encourage you. The Holy Spirit can illuminate what the scriptures actually mean, what God's saying to you. Let the Holy Spirit illuminate what the scriptures are saying to you. You may be about now asking yourselves questions like this. Am I a disciple? Can I be a disciple? Well, the short answer is yes. Every single one of us are called to be a disciple. When you have faith in Jesus and you follow Jesus on a daily basis, you are called as a disciple. It's not something, it's not a next level that we work towards. When you follow Jesus, you become a disciple. But the catch is, it's up to you to choose discipleship. We're all made disciples when we follow Jesus, but it's up to you and I to personally choose discipleship. What's discipleship? Well, in Matthew 28, 18 through to verse 20, this is what it says. Then Jesus came close to them and said, all the authority of the universe has been given to me, me being Jesus. Verse 19, now go in my authority and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and teach them to faithfully follow all I have commanded you. And never forget that I'm with you every day, even to the completion of this age. There's a couple of key things in here, a couple of really key things. The key thing is this, it's a twofold call. You become a disciple and then you get trained and taught in the ways of Jesus. To be a disciple, we want to learn to be a disciple of Jesus and pass on discipleship to others. It's a twofold call. So who am I to pass on discipleship to someone? Has someone passed it on to you? Has someone preached the word of God? And there are now things activated in your daily living that have made you a more Christ-like person than when you were before. If the answer is yes, if the things that you have been taught are from the Word of God, the teachings of Jesus, the ways of Jesus, if that's what someone has planted into you, it's time to actually plant it in somebody else. It's a twofold call. Be a disciple of Jesus, but then share discipleship with others. To put it simply, be in discipleship, share discipleship. Fairly simple, right? But I want to encourage you, it's a choice. It's a choice to be in discipleship, and it's your choice to share discipleship. One of the keys to being a disciple of Jesus is to making sure that when we share discipleship with others, that we do share the teachings of Jesus. We don't want to share our ideas. We don't want to share our opinions. We don't want to share fringe teachings that are semi-biblical, kind of maybe. No, we're called to teach what he has taught us through the Bible alone. Not through some idea that you magically came up with. That's how weird stuff starts to happen. And that's not who God has called us or any church to be, amen. Called to outwork the spiritual practices of Jesus, called to be Christ-like in nature, called to outwork the fruit of the Spirit, called to outwork the gifts of the Spirit, called to outwork his heart of compassion to see people restored in relationship with God. These are the heartbeats of disciples of Jesus. This too can be activated in you. It's a choice to step into it. It's a choice to activate these heartbeats of Jesus. My encouragement to you today is join in, jump in, jump in to be an active disciple of Jesus. It's God's heart for you. It's the commission that he gave you in Matthew 28, 18 and 20. Be connected to discipleship in ways that take you to a deeper level that Jesus has for you. When I talk about a deeper level, I'm talking about some mysterious thing. I'm talking about becoming more Christ-like in nature. The old ways are left behind and the new ways of Jesus are activated in your daily living. That's what I'm talking about. Fruit of the Spirit. I'm definitely not talking about going deeper in intellect. Yes, we want to study. Yes, we want to study the Word of God. Yes, we want to go to Bible college. But that doesn't make you necessarily an activated disciple of Jesus. What it potentially does is just make you smarter. And that's awesome. But we need to activate the ways of Jesus. We need to activate the teachings of Jesus so our core self changes. Self being our heart, where Jesus is. We become more Christ-like in Him there so that it outpours and overflows into every other area of our life. Here's a couple of thoughts that I would love you to ponder over this week. Two thoughts. I want to encourage you to have a nature and disposition that is discipleship prone. Say what? To have a nature, a disposition that is discipleship prone. What does that mean? That you're leaning more into discipleship than other stuff. That you're prone to go towards discipleship and being taught, learning from the Word, listening to good quality teachings of Jesus more often than not. Second one, to have a deliberate affection and bias that is discipleship inclined. Yes, it's true to say that lots of people have bias towards things, but I want to encourage us to have a deliberate affection and bias that is discipleship inclined. So I'm so inclined to hear the teachings of Jesus. I'm so inclined to activate the teachings of Jesus because I'm inclined to become more like Jesus. Amen? Is this doing anything for anyone? If it means something to you today, can you just type amen in the chat box? It'll encourage me later when I look at it. Amen. Encourage each other right now. As disciples, let's share discipleship. Amen. Right now, I really want to encourage you with this thought. This is one more thought to ponder during the week before we move on. Discipleship-prone people are more likely over time to become more Christ-like in their nature and daily actions. I'm going to say it one more time. Discipleship-prone people are more likely over time to become more Christ-like in their nature and their daily actions. It's one thing to follow Jesus and have salvation. Awesome. We're going to spend eternity with God our Father. We're going to meet Jesus. We're going to get to spend time with those who have gone before us when we go to heaven. That's awesome. But what about here, right now? Let's become discipleship focused and discipleship inclined, biased people towards discipleship. Amen. Why is it important? Why is it important that we do this? Right now, do not discount yourself. Don't discount yourself. Because sometimes we hear this, I'm just not that type of person, or I don't have the intellect to pursue those things. Don't discount yourself. We're not talking about leadership roles or serving in the life of your church or serving in the life of the greater community. We're not talking about any of those things. What we're talking about right now is, what we're speaking about is the commission that Jesus prepared for you as a disciple. That's what we're talking about. We're not talking about anything else. Don't get it misconstrued. This is what we're talking about. We're speaking about His heart to activate you to share the hope of Jesus with others. Why is it important? Why is it important? Disciples, you and I, we grow in biblical resistance. Said it again. Disciples grow. Can someone shut that smoke machine off? I'm like getting blinded here. My gosh. Disciples grow in biblical resilience. They have a greater capacity to recover from adversity because they have activated the teachings and ways of Jesus. I'm like, just like a gorilla in the mist right now, amen. Can you see me? Because I can't see you. They have a greater capacity to recover from adversity because they have activated the teachings and ways of Jesus. So if you want to have a greater capacity to recover from adversity, learn and be taught in the ways of Jesus. It's one of the keys for each and every single one of us. If you want to have a greater capacity to recover from adversity, learn and be taught in the ways of Jesus. How do we do that? Because that's the thing, isn't it? It's one thing to hear someone say, you just need to learn to do that. But how do we do that? How do we implement and how do we activate that? Well, the first one is be in proximity to discipleship. If you're not in proximity to discipleship, how could you ever learn to be more of a disciple of Jesus and activate his teachings? How do we do that? Well, we need to be close to people who are going to share the teachings of Jesus, and we need to read the Bible, and we need to activate those teachings and what we're reading out of the Bible. What else could we do? We could attend church on a regular basis. We could attend a small group on a regular basis. We could activate spiritual disciplines on a daily basis. Read our Bible, pray a little bit, put some worship on it, let the Holy Spirit speak to us. I want to encourage you, God has called you to have biblical resilience in the face of adversity. Point number two, believing the Bible matters. Some people, yeah, of course. But you'd be surprised how many people I hear speak about how, oh, you know, the Bible was kind of written a long time ago and it's not overly relevant right now. Well, so either we believe it's the living and breathing Word of God, or you choose another gospel. I know that's like, but we need to cut through on these things. Either you believe the Bible is the breathing, living Word of God that is true yesterday, today, and tomorrow, or you choose another gospel, which is not the gospel of Jesus. You're choosing to follow what gratifies self. You're choosing to follow what justifies guilt. We need to follow the ways and teachings of Jesus. And that's not a heavy thing. That's just a wake-up call. There's lots of things going on in the world around us. It's a wake-up call to come back to the place that believing the Bible matters. The scriptures clearly speak to us about who we are now as followers of Jesus. And the scriptures are promises of who we are now. When we receive Jesus, there's certain promises that come into our life. So when we believe these scriptures and when we activate these scriptures renew our minds. Those things where we discount ourselves and we don't believe in ourselves and we doubt these things, the scriptures renew our minds to think the way that God thinks, to think the way about ourselves that God thinks about us, to see ourselves how God sees us. See, allowing the scriptures to renew your mind and see yourself as the way that Christ sees you, it is imperative. It's imperative to do that. Some simple steps when it comes to these scriptures and believing the scriptures. Get close to being discipled in the ways of Jesus. Allow his word to renew and reframe your thinking. Speak and believe his word over your life. It's one thing to read it. We can read it like a storybook. We can read it like we're reading a magazine. It's like, oh yeah, that's nice. That's lovely. Oh yeah, that's pretty cool. No, we need to read it and believe it and speak it over our lives. Everything that these scriptures say, it's for me. Everything these scriptures say, I am those things. I'm becoming those things. I believe that I'm stepping in to be a greater disciple of Jesus who's becoming more Christ-like in my walk. So let's have a look at some scriptures today, just some scriptures to speak over yourself, some scriptures to believe that what these scriptures say is increasing your biblical resilience, is increasing your walk as a disciple. Philippians 4:13, I'm going to move through these really, really quickly. I can do all things through him who strengthens me. Romans 8:37, no, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. John 16:33, I have said these things to you that you may have peace. In the world you will have tribulation, but take heart, I have overcome the world. Isaiah 41:10, fear not, for I am with you. Do not be dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. I will help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. Isaiah 40:31, but they who wait for the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up like wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. Philippians 4:19. And my God will supply every need of yours according to his riches and glory in Christ Jesus. And the last scripture, Romans 5:1-5. Therefore, since we've been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Through him, we also have obtained access by faith into his grace in which we stand. And we rejoice in hope of our glory of God. More than that, we rejoice in our sufferings. We know that our sufferings produces endurance. And endurance produces character. And character produces hope. And hope does not put us to shame because God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has been given to us. I speak these things over us because this is the living and breathing word of God. And as disciples, we need to believe and claim that this is our truth. This is our promise through God. So I say this to you, we are justified through faith. We have peace. We've obtained access to grace. We rejoice in his hope. We rejoice in our sufferings. We are growing in endurance, character, and hope. We are full of God's love and his spirit. Why do I say these things? Because as disciples, you have access to all of these things. As believers of Jesus, you have access to all of these things. And it's these things that increase our resilience. Yes, we read there in John 16:33 that you will have tribulation in this world, but take heart, I've overcome the world. When we take heart in Jesus, we rebound from adversity quicker than we would without him and his teachings. Yes, we will have tribulation. Yes, we will have things going on in our world that are completely outside of the norm. However, take heart in Jesus. He's overcome all of those things. And as we activate his teachings, we rebound from adversity quicker. We have a spiritual, biblical resilience. Not something where we're mustering up this strength to face the day. No, the Spirit of God is breathing hope into each and every single one of us. My third point today, third and final point is this. Seek healing. If you want to have greater biblical resilience, if you want to be more Christ-like in your discipleship nature, if you want to have that affection and bias to be discipleship inclined, one of the key things that we need to do personally, this is a personal choice that you're going to have to make at some stage. Otherwise, the waves of everything that happens in your life are going to keep crashing on you and you're going to feel like you're being held down on the sand, like when you're at the beach. And it's like, I need to get up and take a breath, but life keeps smashing over me. Like, it's time to make a choice to seek healing. Whatever it could be for, seek healing for hurts. I want to encourage you to be renewed by walking through those hurts. It's not I'm good. No, you need to walk through on a daily journey to choose to allow the Holy Spirit to minister healing from God's heart to yours. To be on a journey of walking through loss and grief and seeking healing of your mind from trauma and abuses. I want to encourage you that it's done by spending time with God, allowing the Holy Spirit to minister to you. It's done by seeing a counselor. It's done by seeing a pastor. It's done by seeing a professional. It's done by reading the Word of God. Not just one of those things or one of those people. Probably at some stage, all of those things and all of those people. It's not a one-size-fits-all, I get that. But at some point in time, you're going to need to learn to speak through it so that the Holy Spirit can come and speak and bring healing to those things that you're potentially even unaware are the things that are smashing onto you daily. It's done through prayer, Holy Spirit moving, healing hurts in your hearts as well. I want to give you, I've just got a short encouragement for you, examples of resilience. Because I think we need a biblical example of resilience, right? It's one thing for me to talk about. It's one thing for me to say that these are the scriptures that you need to speak over yourself. But what can you look to right now in the Bible as an example of resilience? What can I model and learn from? Well, let's look at the story of Joseph. For those of you who are familiar with the story of Joseph, I want to encourage you, you can pick up what I'm talking about right now in Genesis 37, 39, and Genesis 41. And here's a short rundown of Joseph. Joseph was loved, deeply loved by his father. He was accomplished. He was despised and deceived by his brothers. He was then accomplished again. He was falsely accused and thrown into prison. But then Joseph was justified and chosen to deliver nations. Now, you look at that story, when you pack it like that, it's like, oh, it seems pretty easy. Like, I had some stuff go on. But can you imagine being falsely accused by somebody else's wife that you'd done something when you never had? And thrown into prison and left there to rot. Can you imagine the feeling of, where are you, God? Can you imagine the feeling of, I'm alone right now and no one cares? Can you imagine the feelings of, is this my life now? But what did he do? He stayed close to God. Stayed close to God's truth. When people came to him and asked what God wanted to say in situations, he was ready to share his discipleship with others. So much so that others stepped into freedom even before he got to step into freedom. How good is God? So Joseph's story, it teaches us about how to deal with incredible over-the-top problems. It teaches us to have faith about who God is and not necessarily what he's done or what he's doing right now. Have faith who God is. It's not about what you're doing. It's not about what you've done. I believe this is who you are. I have faith in you. I'm looking at this crazy situation, but I have faith in you. It's about holding on to God, even when God's interest is not even necessarily obvious. We know that it is, but when we're in the midst of the turmoil, it's like, are you even here right now? Who's ever had those thoughts? I mean, let's be honest. It can get real sometimes. But it's about holding on to God even when we feel like that. It's one of the keys to resilience, holding on to God even when you feel like that he's not even around. Holding on to his truth and his word, even when you feel like, I feel like I'm alone. His spirit is with you. His spirit is in you. Hold on to him. It produces resilience, endurance, and hope. It's because Jesus was prepared to journey through the endurance of these challenges and these tribulations, he ended up fulfilling God's perfect plan for his life. And we're going to touch base in Genesis 45, verse 4 to 7 right now. And it says this, is in the NIV version, verses 4 to 7. Then Joseph said to his brothers, come close to me. When they had done so, he said, I'm your brother Joseph, the one you sold into Egypt. Can you imagine the moment? Whew, pretty wild. The one you sold into Egypt. And now do not be distressed or do not be angry with yourselves for selling me here, because it was to save lives that God sent me ahead of you. Verse 6. For 2 years now, there has been a famine in the land, and for the next 5 years, there will be no plowing and no reaping. 7-year famine. But God sent me ahead of you to preserve you, a remnant on earth, and to save your lives by a great deliverance. I want to encourage you right now. Every challenge that you personally face, God is with you. God has a plan. And we've been speaking about that over the past month or so. God has a plan. God has a plan for your life. He has a plan for humanity. Every tribulation, every challenge that you go through, God has a plan. Every challenge, every trial, every tribulation can develop resilience when you stay close to God. And then he'll reveal his plans that he has activated for you. We look at that story. I mean, his brothers sold him into slavery. Would you be a little bit upset if your brother, your sister had sold you into slavery? I'd be a little bit toey, maybe. Like, someone get me a stick because I'm about to use it on my brother. No, but he catches this glimpse of, although there's been this, mountains and valleys and prison and false accusations and imprisonment, even though he has those moments, all of a sudden he sees that God, after all those things, and his heart stays good. His heart stays close. It opens up this door where all of a sudden he is the most powerful person in the land under the Pharaoh, under the king. He is the next powerful person. And then all of a sudden, God does this, opens his eyes to see that I have placed you to deliver generations. I have placed you to save my chosen people. I have placed you. So wherever you are right now, you might be having lots of these. Lots of moments of false accusations and being imprisoned by people's words and whatever's going on in your world right now. But the encouragement is this: God has placed you there for a reason. Stay close in discipleship. Let the endurance build biblical resilience in you, so that at the very chosen moment in time, all of a sudden God peels back the covers from your eyes. Like, I need you to do this right now. You are here for this very, very moment. Proximity to discipleship in the ways of Jesus matters. The Bible matters. I want to encourage you that there's lots of other examples of resilience, biblical resilience. If you're at home and right now you're in a place where you're not feeling the resilience, you're feeling the challenge, you're feeling it's like, this is tough right now, can I encourage you in this coming week, these coming weeks, read over the story of Joseph. If you're looking for another person to look at biblical resilience, look at the story of Esther, the book of Esther. It's a really short book. Just read the book. And you catch this glimpse of how God outworks faith in her life and ends up saving an entire nation of people. Read the story of David, specifically in the book of 1 Samuel, and you'll catch this picture of how he is plucked from obscurity, anointed to be king, is Israel's sweetheart, has to run into isolation away from everybody, and yet God is with him the entire way. Read 1 Samuel is where it's at. It will encourage you to look at biblical resilience when you hold on to God's promises for your life. So the common thread of people who develop biblical resilience is that they are aware that they are in and out of challenge. Both in and out of challenge, aware of what's going on. I get it. Sometimes it takes a while for us to catch up of what's going on. But be close to God. Be in close proximity to Jesus so that you can be aware of what's when I'm in and out of challenge and trial and tribulation. They keep close proximity as disciples and they seek and implement encouragement. They seek and implement the truth of Jesus and the ways of Jesus. But today, just as we come to the end of the message today, I know it's been 5 or so minutes longer than normal, but I really felt this week, I spoke to the team in the prayer meeting just before the service, that I've preached this message for a reason. Yes, we need to grow in biblical resilience. We desperately need to grow in that. But one of the other reasons that I've shared it is this, that with everything that's going on right now, we need a refreshing from God's Spirit. We need the Spirit of God to minister to our hearts. How do we do that? We need to get in close proximity to God. We need to get in close proximity to His Word. We need to present ourselves before God. And say, I'm here, God. I want you to speak to me. I want you to encourage me. I want you to minister to me. As I minister worship to you, can you pour out your Spirit and refresh me too? I don't want to be in isolation anymore. I want to be close to you. See, the first step of growing in biblical resilience is to know God personally. It's what you could read the Bible, but if you don't know God personally, then it doesn't mean anything to your spirit. It's just, it becomes head knowledge. To know God personally, to acknowledge our need for Jesus is the first step. And to put it simply, because Jesus went to the cross and he rose again on the third day, we can now be forgiven of our sin and have eternal life. That's God's beautiful promise to us. Then we can start this journey of being a disciple and developing biblical resilience. It says in Romans 10 verse 9, if you declare with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. And so today, just as we come to the end of the service, if you don't know Jesus personally, you could be watching live right now on Sunday morning. You could be watching this at a later time on a rebroadcast. I want to encourage you that the Spirit of God loves you. God loves you. He sent his son Jesus so that you could be forgiven and brought back into relationship with him, forgiven of your sin. And I just want to encourage you, this is a moment right now of accepting Jesus, having a personal relationship with God, acknowledging that you've done wrong things. And yes, you've sinned, but I'm accepting Jesus and God's grace towards me. And so just as right where you are right now, this, I'm going to pray a prayer in a moment. People in homes all over Geelong, Australia, and in other countries around the world are going to be praying this prayer with me. But if you haven't prayed this prayer before of accepting salvation, accepting God's love and his relationship, I want to encourage you, make a choice today to be a follower of Jesus, to accept forgiveness. Let's pray. Dear God, I thank you that you sent your son Jesus to forgive me of my sin. I confess with my mouth and believe in my heart that Jesus is Lord and you raised him from the dead. I surrender my life to you. From this day on, I choose to follow you. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Awesome. The most awesome prayer that you can pray is that first prayer of following Jesus. But now, I want to encourage you, you have Jesus in your heart, forgiven of your sin, you're free, you're a new, brand new person, but now the journey starts. Can I encourage you, if you're watching online right now, there'll be a little box that you can click on if you're watching through the website about connecting with us, about raising your hand, say, yeah, I've accepted Jesus. If you're watching on Facebook or YouTube, can I encourage you, just get in contact with us through the gc.org.au/first steps. Please get in contact with us because we want to encourage you. Get into proximity so that you can be discipled in the ways of Jesus. How to follow Jesus is what we want to share with you.